So I'm going to get all the kids to come join me up front again. Come join me up front. Come sit on the stage. Come on down. Come on down. Awesome. Keep coming. Find a spot. Awesome. Look at you all. That's cool. Come on up. Come on up, Calvin. Awesome. Nice. I'm so glad you guys all joined me up here, because I'm betting that you guys are going to be glad that you joined me too. I've got a green box here. Anybody like green?
Yes.
Yes? Well, good, because green's my favorite color. You too? Awesome. Cool. And your sisters. Nice. Well, hey, last week we talked about, about what Advent was. And it was like a celebration, right? When mom and dad come home, you celebrate. How many of you celebrated when mom and dad came home this week? Nobody. Mom and dad, you guys have work to do. But this week, we're going to talk about Advent, but we're going to talk about, I didn't bring it with me, but if I was to draw a question mark on this box, you guys know what a question mark is?
Yeah.
If I was to draw a question mark on this box, what do you think that would mean?
You don't know what's inside.
You don't know what's inside. Which would be another word, would be it's a
mystery.
Awesome. Cool. I think some of these kids watched Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo was my favorite, right?
I watched the Halloween.
They're always solving the mysteries, right?
Yep.
So, do you guys have any mysteries? Is there anything you guys wonder about? This could be a loaded question, just so you know.
I wonder about...
Don't have anything, okay.
I wonder if I stepped in a foxhole once. I think I did.
You wonder if you've stepped in a foxhole once. You think you did. Okay, cool. I'm glad you survived.
What about you? I wonder when God's going to come down.
You wonder when God's going to come down. I think we all wonder about that, because he hasn't told us when that's going to happen. What else? Who else had one here? Anybody? Okay. Well, mystery is one of the greatest things that we can have at Christmas time. Because it's like this box, if I wrapped it, it would become what?
Present.
A present. And do you guys like receiving presents?
Yeah.
Oh. What's the best thing about getting a present?
They get to see what's inside.
You get to see what's inside.
And you get to play with it.
You get to play with it. That's assuming it's something to play with, right? But the best thing about a present is you don't know what's inside, right? So it's kind of like a mystery, right? Do you guys try to find out what your presents are?
No.
You don't. I've been doing it wrong all these years. You know, when I get a present, I'll take the present and it's like, I'll shake it, right? And find out, I was like, can you hear that? Does it sound like something? Is there something in there? What do you guys think is in there? A small sports car? Marbles. That's where my marbles went. They're in here. So marbles. What else? What else might be in there?
Might be some candy.
Candy?
That was mine.
What's that?
Candy.
Rocks. Maybe coal. You guys ever get coal for Christmas? No? Mom and Dad have never given you coal for Christmas?
No, Santa.
It's excellent. You should try it out.
I have
have candy canes at my house.
You have candy canes at your house. Okay. Candy canes for everybody. Do you guys, you know what the mystery of Advent is?
No.
Jesus tells us the mystery of Advent. God tells us the mystery of Advent is found in the manger. What's that? What's the mystery of the manger?
Jesus,
yeah. The fact that Jesus was born. And Jesus is who?
God.
Why would God come down in a manger?
To save our sins.
Oh, to save our sins. Okay, so we got some theologians here. That's good. So, the mystery of God is that Jesus came as a babe in the manger. Do you ever wonder why or how? How is that possible? How is God that created you possible that he appeared as a babe? Did he come out talking? Did he come out quoting scripture? He came out of Mary's tummy, that's right. Go ahead, Calvin. What? Nope. Are you guys curious as to what's in here?
Yeah.
Yeah?
We kind of want to play with it.
You want to play with it? I don't know. You might have to talk to your mom and dad about that. But the mystery of Advent is that God came as a babe. And this box is like a gift. Jesus is a gift. And we get to open that gift every day, and particularly on Christmas. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
Who wants to open it for me? You come and open it for me. You ready? Okay. Oh, candy. Oh. You guys are right. Well, you know what? You guys can come and get candy. If there's not enough here, we'll get you guys some more, okay? But you have to take it back to mom and dad, and they have to tell you it's okay to have, okay? One at a time. One at a time. Okay? One at a time. Okay, once you got your candy, go on down. Yes, you can. Cool. You guys got a gift.
It's the best gift.
Yeah.
Best gift ever.
There we go. Okay, there, great. You got one, go down. You got one? Which one you want? There you go. Kit Kat Man, all right. Yep, you grab one. Okay, there we go. Okay, you guys go. Here you go. Oh, Smarties. Oh, Aero Bar. Which one, Zeke? Aero Bar. You grab one. You grab one.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. Now all the parents are jealous. I'm going to take a second and move this forward, because this is way back. All right. Prayer and praise time this morning. Who has a prayer of praise this morning for us? Tom. Come on up. Grab a mic. Grab the mic there and share with us.
I have a praise item, a real praise item. First of all, I'd like to thank the ladies of the church for doing what they do. Last week, Kimberly came to our place, knocked on the door, and said, is TJ there? Now, if any of you know, that's our boy. I call him my son, I call him a boy. He's 57 years old, but he lives with us. And he spends an awful lot of time in his room, doesn't associate with too many people, has a hard time going out just to buy something at the store. And called him out, said, "There's somebody here to see you." And here is Kim with her bag of goodies for TJ. And he accepted the bag, and Kim didn't know what to say because she doesn't know him. And she said, "You know, it's just a gift from the ladies of the church. And we pray for you from time to time." And I didn't see his face when she said that because I was kind of standing behind him, but Shirley was in front, and she said his face just softened up. She thought he was going to tear up. Beautiful. That love is still there, even though he kind of tries to push it aside. And the ladies, with their gift for him, brought it out. Afterward, he said, "You know, I'm not part of the church." And I said, "Yes, you are." "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are." So, anyway, thank you, ladies. Thank you, Lord, for the work they do. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the fact that just a little gift can make a day.
Awesome. Good stuff. Any other prayer and praise items this morning? Alistair.
Yesterday, I contacted Dave and Connie, and I got a text back from them. And he started out by saying it was minus 33 as their high. That was yesterday. But I'll read to you what he sent to me. And I mentioned to him that we just wanted to pray for them, for anything that was coming up, whatever might be required. "Thank you for reaching out. Each week for about a month, we have been doing our services online to help with the isolation and to let people know that we are continuing to worship regardless. This has not been seamless. On the technology side, there have been some glitches. With the cold comes a concern for the homeless and getting warm clothes and providing food and shelter. Elders don't get out as much and become housebound, and we don't always get to meet them." He says, "Our church being small doesn't really make much impact on the halls of power there." He says, "So we're sort of on the sidelines. But in spite of all this, we experience the presence of God so much here. He sustains us, and I know that we could not do this without enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for offering to pray for us." And he says, "It really matters." So I thought I'd just share that with you, and this was as of yesterday.
Awesome. Thanks, Alistair. Anybody else this morning? Sylvia.
I would like to thank all the people that's got a few. It takes more than one to fix up the trees. They're so beautiful. And thank you, Pastor.
Awesome. Thanks, Sylvia. Thank you. God bless. Pat and Gary were taking care of our decorations this year, so thank you, Pat and Gary, for decorating the church. Anybody else this morning? Oh, he's looking at one more spot.
Hi, everybody. I just want to take this opportunity to say how blessed we are in this church family. There's so much love here, and it's love through our Heavenly Father. There's so much caring. There's so much humility, so much peace. All the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I don't think I missed any of them. We have a wonderful pastor, wonderful pastor's family. We have Brian back there that dedicates himself to sending out the message beyond our church building. We are just blessed. We have small groups, people that care for one another. We have a wonderful Sunday school. We have everything that we need, the things that really matter. we have young families, we have fathers and mothers that have their children here to learn about Jesus. And I might add, it's wonderful to have young men here taking part in the service as well, because I know that can be very nerve-wracking for them. And I just want to praise the Lord and just say thank you, Jesus, for all your gifts to us, especially at this time of the year. And I want to give him all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.
Awesome. Amen. So one thing I wanted to share before we go to prayer time is we have some birthdays this month. And one of the ladies that just came up celebrating her birthday this month is Pat. Happy birthday. And Larry Hager. Ms. Donna Kneller. Colton and Brinley Kimmy. And Steve Danley, right here. So happy birthday to you all. And we hope that you have an enjoyable celebration and you get spoiled. Lots. And we're not going to let it go by without happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everybody. Happy birthday to you. Awesome. Thank you. Which one? Anna?
Yeah. I'm thankful that everyone's here.
That everyone's here? Yes, very much so. Thanks, Anna. Let's go to prayer this morning. Father, we do thank you that we can gather together as the church family. Father, we can come together and we can give you praise. You are worthy of all our worship, all the glory, all the love that we can give. You're faithful beyond anybody or anything that we know. There is no one like you. And Father, we're thankful that we can celebrate Advent today, that we can celebrate Christmas, that we can rest in the peace of knowing that the mystery of the manger in you, Jesus, that we don't completely understand everything, but just the wonder and the mystery that you would do that. That God, you would come down and be amongst your creation and be born of your creation as a simple miracle and wonder that we should simply never lose. And Father, I pray that you would help us to never lose the wonder of that and the miracle of your birth. Father, we want to give thanks for our leadership and our volunteers and our teachers and everybody that has part and does things within our church body. Those things that are seen and unseen. Those things where we simply give someone a call and or simply meet for coffee and pray with those individuals too, running our sound system, our tech, and our video and all that. Father, you give the gifts and the people the gifts to serve and build the church. And Father, we thank you that you've continued that and that you do that here. We're thankful, so thankful for giving us the empowerment of your Spirit and gifts to do these things and hearts to do these things. So thank you for all our teachers, our volunteers, our leadership, Lord. We thank you that you also watch over David and Connie. And Father, that they are lifted up. It is a difficult place. It is a hard place. There's hard work to do. Even though they may be a small fellowship, a small church, they are faithful. And they have a faithful leader in David. And Father, we ask that you would bless him and Connie, that you would make the foundations under which he walks be filled with the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would give him wisdom and understanding and love beyond his years to reach and teach these people. Father, that they would know the love of Christ. Father, we pray for those that are homeless. We pray for the elders. We pray for those that are struggling. Lord, we ask that you would have your hand upon them, that you give them clarity of thought, you would give them provision, Father, for the needs that they have, that they would know they have eternal security in you, Jesus. We ask your blessings upon them in a dark place this Christmas. And Father, we simply want to give you thanks also for the care that is given from our ladies that organized to put together care bags, Father, or love bags to certain people and in our congregation. And what a great expression of the love of Christ. And we're happy that, that's made an impression on the individuals, that they know that they matter, that they count, that they're valued. They were loving well like Christ. And Father, we simply also want to, again, just give thanks that we can function as a family. Father, that we pull together as a family, that you have your hand upon us, and no one can take us out of your family, Father. Bless our church. Bless our community. Be with our leaders. Be with our provincial, our federal, our civic. Father, we ask that you would help them to be men and women of God that do the things that you desire, and not out of selfish want or selfish need, Father, but for the good of the people. And we ask that you would be, your hand would be upon Israel, Lord, upon their leaders. Father, upon those that look forward to Messiah coming. Father, that they would be brave and bold with the message this Christmas, and that many more of the people of Jewish origin, Lord, they would come to know that you are Messiah and would look forward to your coming. And may it be ever soon, we would ask and pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our kids can be dismissed to Sunday school this morning. I want to start by reading from John, or from Luke chapter 1 this morning, verse 5 to 25. So if you got your Bibles with you, you can do that. But Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. Stop for a second. Where is Zechariah? He's in the temple, but he's in the Holy of Holies. And a person only went in there once a year. So this is where Zechariah is. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Stop there again. Why is Zechariah fearful? Why is he terrified? Well, if you remember, God has not been heard from for over 400 years. It's been a time of silence. This is not a typical thing that has happened, that an angel of the Lord appears beside the altar and speaks words of prophecy. God has been silent for 400 years. Why should be this time any different than any other time? Why would a priest be fearful of going into the Holy of Holies? God hadn't been showing himself. But now he shows himself after 400 years. You have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you the good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. Stop, here's an amusing little note. Is that when the high priest went in, they would tie a cord around his leg, a rope. Because if anything happened to the high priest that was in there, because he was coming to give offering for the sins of the people, there might be a good chance that he would die. So in order to pull him out, they have to get him out by rope. Interesting, isn't it? Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. Should we pull the rope? When he did not come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I've endured among my people." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Why would Elizabeth have disgrace? Because she could not bear a child. And what that meant was that obviously you did something wrong. Obviously you did something to offend the Lord God. And that's why you have not been blessed with a child. Whether it was Zechariah or Elizabeth, it didn't matter. So Elizabeth and Zechariah have this gift of this child. After how many years? Some say it was 90 years old is when she had the child. How many of you are 90? How many of you would like to have a child when you're 90? But here's a blessing of a child at the age of 90. The proclamation of a mute causes fear, wonderment, and anticipation for the mystery of God. Are we able to embrace the wonderment of the mystery of God this Christmas? The mystery of God can only be embraced by those who embrace mystery. Jesus directed us to be like children because children embrace mystery. They are surrounded by mystery. Children have not yet learned how to avoid mystery and control mystery, making it submit to their lordship. This world no longer holds mystery for men and women. When everything we see and do is about calculating and exploiting of that and those around us. Jesus thus becomes about a means to an end instead of being the means and the end himself. We rush by the manger. Instead of sitting at the manger in wonder at the mystery before us, God being born as a babe. God taking on human flesh, his own creation, and moving into the neighborhood. This is the mystery that we refer to as the incarnation, that God was born as a man. Do you sit and marvel at that? A.W. Tozer wrote, "Nobody marvels because the whole business can be explained." What do you think about that? Nobody marvels because the whole business can be explained. Can I marvel at the manger? Am I able to? Or have I lost the wonder of my faith? Has reason overtaken my faith in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit even register in my mind? Or has it been left out in the cold, in the stable, because there's no room in my inn? Tozer made the statement, "I have always claimed that a believing Christian is a miracle. And at the precise moment that you can fully explain him, you have a Christian no longer." Interesting statement. In our day, we send reason ahead on its little short legs, and faith never follows. Can I look at the manger with wonder? Can I embrace its mystery? Or do I have to explain everything about it? Do I have to have a reason for everything? Does it have to make sense? Because if I can't embrace the mystery of the manger, I rob the world of its king. The Apostle Paul speaks these words. "For you are saved by grace through" what? "Faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." The moment I can reason that the grace of God is the moment that my faith is dead. The moment that I reason the grace of God is the moment the mystery dies. For Jesus is an acceptance of a gift by faith, not through the working of the mind. Embrace the mystery and wonder of the manger. Instead, we get hooked up on our questions. Well, would you rather be saved or would you rather have your question answered? It's not to say that Christianity is not intellectual, that it's not reasonable. But at the base of Christianity, of belief in Christ, is what? Faith. It's not reason. It's faith, and A.W. Tozer would say that faith is the highest type of reason because it enters the presence of God. The moment I can reason the grace of God is the moment my faith is dead. For Jesus is an acceptance of a gift by faith, not the working of the mind. To psychoanalyze God's reason is to trample over his love, the gift in the manger. It's to search for the booby trap in the straw, to seek the string attached to the infant. What's the catch? Where's the switch? It's to echo Zechariah's question, how will I know that this is so? I am too old. I'm too established. I'm too civilized. I'm too scientific. I'm too educated. I'm too intelligent. I'm too blind. Salvation arrived in a manger. He was prophesied and proclaimed. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him, what? Emmanuel. Don't be such an Ahaz. He's talking to King Ahaz. Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. Folks, we're living in a land of darkness. And the light is shining. Maybe not so brightly, maybe a little bit dimly. But who is the light? You and me are the light. Because Jesus inhabits us by the Holy Spirit. We are the light. We need to share the light. We need to cast the light because the light dispels the darkness. Amen? Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Micah 5:2, Bethlehem Ephrath, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity. Bethlehem, you are a place of death. I will now make you a place of life and light. Malachi 3:1, see, I'm going to send my messenger and he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you desire. See, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And then you have 400 years of silence. The messenger is coming. I'm going to send him. And he will come upon you suddenly. And 400 years of silence. Are we ready for when Jesus returns? How long has it been of silence? Well, the Spirit is with us. The Spirit walks amongst us. He is with us, but we wait the return of Christ. Are we ready? Zechariah, do you believe? See the wonder. Welcome the mystery. You have sought healing. You have sought meaning. You have sought wholeness. You have sought truth. You have sought victory. But have you sought the manger and believed in the mystery? Colossians 2, 2-3, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery. Christ. Have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. The manger holds all the treasure and wisdom that you and I will ever need hidden in a babe. Amen? What wonder, what a mystery. But yet the rich, the powerful, the influential, the popular, the religious, the blind did not see, they did not hear. But the blind did see. The poor became rich, the lowly became powerful, the humble influential, the simple wise, and they were saved. No different for today. 1 Corinthians 2, 8-10. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye did not see, and ear did not hear, and what never entered the human mind, God prepared this for those who love him. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Zechariah became mute because he did not believe the angel Gabriel's prophecy. He did not believe God's words, God's truth, God's power, God's arrival that God spoke. 400 years of silence and God finally speaks. If you were in Zechariah's sandals, would you question what you saw as well? Yes. Absolutely. I would question what I saw, what I heard. I would be afraid as well. God has not moved or spoken for 400 years, and now he speaks to me. I'm shivering in my boots. I'm on my knees, wallowing on the floor. This is it. What have I done? Pull the rope! Right? Our prayers go unanswered. Our hopes up in flames. But God will finally show. He will once again speak. He is speaking. He is showing. Are we hearing? Are we looking? Are we mute because we disbelieve? Have we lost sight of the manger? The mystery and the wonder of the manger. Jesus' faith doesn't walk with my reason. Hope irreconcilable with science. Is fact fiction or is fiction fact? God says in Isaiah 43:5, a voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness, make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up and every mountain he will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And the Lord God will return, and every eye will see, and every knee will bow when he returns. Zechariah has 9 months to think about the angel's message. Did I get that right? 9 months. About the angel's message, about the angel's words. Are they fact or are they fiction? Zechariah is literally left speechless. The baby is born. What will his name be? The name will indicate Zechariah's belief. Does God live? Does God speak? Does God care? Does Zechariah believe the mystery to come? And he says, the boy's name will be John. Zechariah believes, his tongue is set free, and fear comes over the people. Their hearts are stricken. Does God live? Has God spoken? Who will be this child? What is this mystery? Luke 1:63-66, he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around them. And all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, what then will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand was with him. If they were wondrous about this, get what's coming in a little bit. Zechariah prophesies that John will be called the prophet of the Most High and will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. giving knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, Luke 1:76-77. Zechariah believes the wonder. He believes God's mystery. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God will always show up in the darkness. Always. Have you embraced the mystery of the manger? Are you able to wonder at the wonderful? Do you have faith to embrace the faithful? Have you drawn close to your true love? Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote about the mystery of love, and that's this: the greatest mystery is not the most distant star. On the contrary, the closer something comes to us and the better we know it, the more mysterious it becomes for us. True? The more we love God and draw close to him, the more mysterious he will become for us. Why? Because we will truly come to realize how unexplainable he truly is, and how unexplainable his love for us truly is. How is it that you could love me? Because I know who I am. It's a miracle and mysterious that, you know, jokingly, my wife can love me as well as she does, because she knows me. She always says to me, I may not always like you, but I always love you. Jesus might not always like us for what we do, but he always loves us. He always loves us. That's a mystery. That's a wonder. This is the wonder and the mystery of the manger, and what a mute came to realize, that God came in the flesh because he is near the lowly, he loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded, the weak, the brokenhearted, the humble, and the needy. God loves humanity. He loves you and me. Because we're all broken. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world, in this way he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Amen. Amen.